The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
So what's the future? How are things looking in the state of Indiana as this session continues to head on down the road? Are we going to see that these two sides can actually get something done that makes things better for all of us? Tony Katz, good to be with you. Gary Dick joins us from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on Twitter at IIB, at Gary Dick on Twitter, G-E-R-R-Y, at Gary Dick on the Twitter box. If there's one place where there's opportunity for everybody, it's in this conversation of tourism, which is hard for us to get our heads around. And I was just in Nashville, and I will tell you, they understand tourism. We've got a much bigger, much more uphill battle ahead of us. That said, Gary Dick, as you've been doing the deep dive, golf makes us money in terms of billions.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a new report is out, Tony. The National Golf Foundation did this. I think they did it on a state-by-state basis. But the numbers are really stunning. $2 billion in economic impact in Indiana, according to this report, which was released late last week. 23,000 jobs supported by the industry in Indiana. Also a big impact, certainly, when it comes to charities. But as you mentioned, it's a big piece of the tourism equation in Indiana, which continues to drive a lot of economic activity. You're seeing golf trips from neighboring states, folks coming into Indiana. The Pete Dye Golf Trail, which was established, kind of a trail connecting all of Pete Dye's signature courses here in Indiana. So golf, and we should mention that the pandemic, Tony, really did rejuvenate the golf game, if you will. Got more people out, got courses filled up, and really some courses that were not doing that well are now back in good shape. So, yeah, golf, without question, part of a bigger picture in that tourism picture in Indiana.
When people go and they want to experience golf, is it the name of the course you talk about, Pete Dye, of course? Is it the difficulty of the course? Is it the other things associated with it? Do people want to golf more in Florida because you also have beaches? You want to golf more in Arizona because you can do something else? What are the things around a golf course that we can start focusing on as amenities to allow us opportunities to attract more people?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those things, Tony. Frankly, I think the kind of the more accomplished, those more serious golfers, if you will, they'll look at the name of the course, the challenging nature of the course, those types of things. But I think for the vast majority of golfers, they like to be, outside with nature, so to speak, but on some of these really cool designed courses that are really fun to be on and really fun to compete on or compete with yourself, really. But take some of these trips. Michigan, obviously, much larger tourism budget than Indiana. Big dollars in Michigan. Golf is a huge deal in Michigan. And in terms of, as you look at the number of courses up there, the weather they have, a little bit cooler up there, that kind of thing, it attracts lots and lots of golf trips. So I think it's a combination of things. And I think Indiana, the climate here, a little colder, a little cooler, obviously, can be hot in the summer. But I think the industry as a whole, the golf industry as a whole, is really experiencing rejuvenation.
I'm not. It's one of the few things where it's not weather. You golfers are freaks. You'll golf in any. I saw Caddyshack. You'll do it in the lightning storm. There is nothing exactly that's going to stop you. If a tornado was coming through, you'd be like, maybe we could get in the front nine.
Yeah, I don't think the heavy stuff is coming for a while, right?
Right, yeah, exactly what you'd say. You'd be like, I'm in, I'm game, it's the beer cart out, and that would be it. Yeah, so weather is one of the few things that we don't have to worry about. It's just what else can we create to the advantage. Also, as you have been discussing, Terre Haute getting itself an electric vehicle battery components plant that's going to bring in another 600-plus jobs.
Yeah, and this is an interesting story. You know, again, one more piece of this whole electric vehicle industry, if you will. A lot of money being invested there. We saw last week in Kokomo, the Stellantis broke, kind of put the first beam in place for this big $2 billion plant there. Terre Haute getting in on the mix. And what I think is significant there, it's $1.5 billion investment. Intech, an Oregon-based company, making the investment there. And they're actually saying there could be more. This could be just the beginning for this site in Vigo County. But what I think is really noteworthy there is that Terre Haute, Vigo County, the Wabash Valley, landed a big economic development deal because they certainly pursued deals over the years, but just haven't been able to land one of those. They finally did here. And it adds to a piece of the pie, piece of the puzzle, if you will, over there. We're beginning to see in Terre Haute, we've got a couple new hotels downtown. They've got a new convention center that opened last year. A new casino is well underway and I think opens next year as well. So Terre Haute and Vigo County beginning to get in on the economic train.
On this casino conversation, every now and then it comes up that why don't we put a casino, you know, somewhere closer to Indianapolis? Why don't we put a casino in downtown? And I always make the argument that, you know, places like Cincinnati, or I should really say Cleveland, tried this. It didn't work out so great. And just because something is in a populated area doesn't mean that it's always successful. Is there ever any real talk about a casino in downtown? Because we have this mall that no one's doing anything with, and you could see some opportunities for that space. Is there ever this conversation?
There is the conversation. I don't know, you know, truthfully, Tony, how serious it is, because that, as you well know, it's been talked about for many years. You know, there's a lot of talk about Union Station, certainly, as being a potential site there. And you mentioned a conversation about Circle Center, which is one of the biggest issues facing, without question, downtown Indianapolis, what to do with that. And I'm still waiting. We're anticipating some sort of ideas coming out of this task force and these meetings have been having. But I don't think it's, as far as I can hear, talk is not something that's going to ultimately happen. You know, I think there are a lot of supporters of it, but I don't think it really has that great a chance of ultimately happening.
That right there is Gary Dick from Inside Indiana Business. Before I let you go, unemployment 3.1% in February. That is unchanged, and it's been unchanged for 3 months. Business leaders, state leaders, they happy with this?
You know, I think so. But again, you and I have talked about it a lot. It's talked about all the time about this whole ability of companies to get the workers they need. And back to that whole announcement in Terre Haute, that's 640 jobs. And this company from Oregon coming into Indiana believes they can get those 640 jobs or more here. So it's a kind of a two-edged sword. You hear this talk about the talent, the challenge to get talent, and those types of things. But there are companies investing here and think the employment situation is one that's going to work for them.
Well, it's, I think, a further question of what are we doing to allow us to continue to compete with other places in the Midwest. I am convinced that there has to be a capital of the Midwest theory and philosophy, and that involves getting every city up and pumping. We're going to discuss this in the future. Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com, on Twitter, at IIB, on the drive, Huebler.com hotline.